the first time we've ever had a break because of a diaper.
Never mind.
All right. We're studying hell.
Well, that was just it.
Let's go to Isaiah 57. Starting verse 1. The righteous perisheth. Again, in Hebrew, when there's a definite article, it's ha. And it means that it's called special attention to the singular aspect of it. So the righteous one perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. Now, the scriptures talk over and over about crucifying the Son, well, not over and over, but a few times about that we crucify the Son of God afresh. And we consider the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing. But you have to see sometime that the returning to self is crucifying the Son of God afresh. Returning to the use of the evil one, you're crucifying the Son of God afresh. You're crucifying the righteous one. And it's until that's seen, there's no zeal. And you can sit and debate it forever. But we've talked about that Jesus Christ is your only self. But you resurrect the evil one from his deadly head wound, thereby crucifying the Son of God afresh. So the righteous one perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. Now, can you get your head around that? It's pretty big. Well, let's continue. The righteous one perisheth, and no man layeth to heart. And merciful men are taken away, and none considering the righteous, that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. He's talking about the merciful man and the righteous one. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourself? Against whom make you a wide mouth and draw at the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks, among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering, and thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a high and lofty mountain. What it really says is upon a high and lofty high place. The high places of your mind. Upon a high and lofty mountain hast thou set up thy bed. Even thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Now, does anybody understand this? How do you go on the high and lofty high place to make your bed and offer sacrifices?
Calculate your own business and desire, put it together.
You start paying attention to your mind.
Well, Well, it's more, this, to offer sacrifice is more than just paying attention.
It's worship.
It's worship, but it's worship for an end. You have an end in mind. I'm as guilty of this as everyone else. We have an end result in mind, and then we make sacrifices, if you will, for that end, just like they did in the ancient times with the physicality of the sacrifices. We do it in our minds, just as they carried the sacrifices, idols on their shoulders, so do we. This can't be done with impunity anymore. The time has come for you to grow up. No more carnality. I'm going to read this again. Now listen carefully. Starting verse 3. But draw near hither, or here, you sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourself? Sport there just means vaunt yourself. Against whom make you a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks, among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot, even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a high and lofty mountain hast thou set up thy bed. Even thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also on the posts as thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to one other than me. And art gone up and hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou saw it. Thou wentest to the king with ointment. Now that's a king as Molech instead of Melech. Thou wentest to the false idol, the evil one, the Saphon. He's got a million names. Thou wentest to the king with ointment and did increase thy perfumes. Your perfumes are your thoughts. And did send thy messengers far off. What does it mean to send your messengers? It talks about that all over. It talked about it in Ezekiel 8 where we try to send God afar off. Because we try to send something. We send our messengers afar off to complete this idol that you made in time. And we try to do that to God. God is only concerned with the now, right this instant. But we try to send him afar off to bless something in the future. And did debase thyself even to hell. Anybody have any idea what that means? We're solid. The base is no. It's you. The base means you. Shamed yourself.
Depravity. All right.
You did debase yourself even unto hell, or even to hell.
Mm-hmm. Why?
because your ideas, your idols, didn't come to pass. And so you're mourning for them. You're debasing yourself even unto hell. The thing you wanted didn't come to pass, or doesn't appear to be coming to pass. Goes on and on and on. It's the activity of the mind. It's not debatable from the standpoint, well, no, my mind is good because I just, no, no, no. Then comes the next one. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidst thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine own hand, therefore thou hast not grieved. What does it mean? Thousand times in one's life, they are wearied in the greatness of the way. And each of those times is a possibility of repentance. But instead, you found the life from your own hand. In other words, you created an idea or a thought process to get you out of that greatness or depression. Something. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, something to fill up the emptiness.
You're wearied in the greatness of your way. And all that God wants you to see is there is no hope. And then, by that point, that's another way of seeing poverty. But you rebuild the things that you destroyed. You destroyed them in baptism. And then you rebuild the things that you destroyed. You can't do this with impunity. There isn't enough time. Greatness of thy way, yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine own hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. It doesn't get any bigger than this in our walk. We come up with 1,000 ways of justifying ourselves. We can't do it by the scriptures, so we justify ourselves by using the value system of man. It's always, they will speak well of you when you do well unto yourself. Whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not still? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest for help, let thy companies deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them away, and vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and inherit my holy mountain. This minute you can stop and put your trust exclusively in him. No more returning to the high places. No more fornicating to try to figure out how to improve your life. Put your trust only in Him. You shall possess the holy mountain. You shall be forever at the first source of all things. That's you've gone through this over and 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 over. It's time to see what you're doing. Say, Father, forgive me. Now I trust only in Thee. No more leaning on my own arm of understanding for anything. And finally, you shall say, cast you up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. And the stumbling block is the curse of self-seeking, of self-realization, of awareness of self. And that awareness of self is a stumbling block. For thus saith the High and the Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not contend forever. Neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me in the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness I was wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went forwardly on the way in the continued way in the way of his heart. Now it's time to hear the next part. You've continued in the way of your own heart. It's called the opposite of humility. I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. You understand? It's time to see that. It's time to say, Father, forgive me for all of the sorceries and fornications that I've been doing. Yeah. I mean, that's what he's waiting for. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. I will heal him. But the wicked one, or ones, are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked one. No peace of mind. Anybody have any response to any of this?
I do, but lost it something, whatever. The trust for it really touched me.
Anybody else?
What did you say, Ron?
I'm talking about the trust point.
What about?
No, it's just...
He's not trusting.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he was or wasn't.
No, No, it may not be trusting, but I think and believe that, you know, in order to worship God, you gotta trust Him.
Amen. Anybody else?
The word that comes to me is freedom. Light as a feather, in a sense. Cliche-ish. But that's truly the ultimate gift of a totally repentant soul.
Amen.
You are free.
What?
I'm just laughing. Jeff and I had a talk yesterday about the preaching of the cross and how terrible it is and how it makes you feel bad and all this stuff. And I was telling about in our meetings throughout the years, when the cross was preached the hardest, the fruit of it was you would feel the lightest. The
greatest joy.
The greatest joy. And it's like that's the opposite of what the natural mind would think.
Amen.
Show me comfort, show me joy, show me the, well, yeah, when you're fully out of the picture, I'll show you all of it. But it's that when you said the lightest in light of what we just talked about, it's pretty cool.
Let's go to Matthew 11 a minute. Here's the opposite, other than finding the life of your own hand. Come unto me, verse 28. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Light as a feather. Now the yoke the place you take your yoke upon him, his yoke upon you, is in your mind. But you can't take it off. If you take it off and return to the old ways, then you're crucifying the Son of God afresh. The righteous one perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. I've said for years and years and years and years that this is as easy as breathing. There's no battle, your warfare is over. Because you've taken his yoke upon you. No longer dealing with the crap.
I just think about a yoke is a device used to put on a beast to pull things around, to haul stuff, to have to exercise yourself. And Jesus ain't hauling nothing around.
He's nothing empty.
Yeah, there's nothing in his trailer.
That's why I said it's finished.
And so
my yoke is pretty light.
And so my yoke is light. You know, I got a yoke, but I ain't carrying nothing. So, okay.
Take my yoke upon you, and you shall find rest in your souls. The rest, remember, is that you have perceived toils. You have to work at it. But this is another way, this other thing of saying, enter the rest. Today, if you will harden not your hearts as in the wilderness, enter the rest. That's all this is, the whole preaching of the cross is about. The end result is your rest. Because you've ceased from toil. You've entered the life. So therefore your eye is no longer evil. Remember, the evil eye is the one that sees the necessity for toil. And it can be physical toil, it can be mental toil, it can be any kind of toil. As long as it's a toil, then you have the evil eye.
Spiritual toil.
spiritual toil.
Yeah, doesn't matter what kind of, what you call a toil. As we enter the Sabbath, the Sabbath is a person, it's Jesus Christ. We enter that day and we cease from our own labors. Our warfare is totally over. That should be the predicate of our lives. Now, it doesn't matter what calling, it says that you should remain, most should remain in the calling when they're called. It doesn't matter whether it's that what you're doing, it doesn't matter if you're, we talked about it this last night in Bananas, about, because there's a lot of policemen in Bananas. They're evil, all of them are evil too.
I'm going to tell you something that you didn't like.
I'm being facetious.
Being facetious.
But the point of it is, this can enter every aspect of your life. That no matter what it is, no matter what you have to do, what or perceive, whatever it is, you cease from your own labors and you walk in this mystery of faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Because it's of self. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth. No part of you. And there's no role model for this. But you know whether or not you've taken his yoke upon you, whether or not you're creating idols, whether or not you're going up and worshiping in that high and familiar bed. Let's just stop it.
Probably now's a good time.
It's the best time there is. Enter that light. All right. Any other response? Quit making your bed in hell. That's the point of it.
Amen.
Your sleep shall be sweet. Instead of this gelling around, trying to figure this out and that out, and what am I doing this? Let me tell you one thing. The fundamental purpose of your mind is to accuse you. Now why pay any attention to it?
Because it's mine.
All right, take a big guy.